Ghostly Thistle presents The Antique Shop. Episode 8, The Allure. The bell above the shop door is a regular feature of my days there. It's as much a part of the package as Kronos or the Madam. It's like a signal, a delicate flare to indicate that I've crossed the threshold into weird. The shop's a quiet place, and often it's the only noise I'll hear for hours. Every time it jingles, there's always something interesting coming after. I thought the lackey noise would eventually send me to a loony bin, but I've become used to it. It's tranquil, a respite for the busy, selfish world outside. But no today. Today it was disturbed by two roasters, and they weren't even customers. Finn and Reed had beaten me to the shop and were bickering with such animation I was sure something would be knocked off the counter or one of the shelves. Voices were raised, arms and fingers were animated. So heated was their witty watty and they didn't even hear the bell or notice I'd come in. The only thing that had was Kronos, who was uncharacteristically glad to see me. No wonder we those baw bags bickering like a pair of fishwives. We both stood near the door, listening to their fighting, wondering when they were going to realise they had an audience. For what I could glean amidst the barbs and insults, they were arguing over where to put something. I couldn't tell what this something was. I became impatient and decided to interrupt, inadvertently joining Finn's side of the argument when I took my own wee pop at Reed for lolling about the shop all day, every day, like a Ned outside of Greg's. Ever since he became my familiar, he's always there, in the shop, when I get in, when I leave. I'm sure he lives there now, or maybe he's too afraid to leave seeing as people are meant to be after him. Finn showed me what they were fighting over. It was a vase, of all things. The way they were going on, you'd have thought it was the footer or the bloody holy grail. It was a pretty vase, though. Reminded me a wee bit of a stained glass window you get in kirks and cathedrals. No two pieces were the same size or even the same colour, but its beauty didn't keep my mind from wondering what sort of horror it had in store for the poor sod who bought it. There always seems to be an edge to the things in the shop, and it's impossible to know just by looking at them. There was also the bad feeling I had in my gut whenever I looked at it, and I know by now that can't be good. The two lads had been having a disagreement on where to put it, the windy display or in the shop. I settled it by saying that whoever it was meant for would find it anywhere. I know, how good am I? I'm beginning to sound like the Madam. Reed wasn't happy I disagreed with him, but just because he's my familiar doesn't mean we have to agree with each other all the time, does it? I'm beginning to get the impression that Finn and Reed didn't get along, which is great for me being stuck in the middle like a numpty. To be quite honest, I'm not quite sure why Finn's hanging round a lot more recently, and I didn't want to ask. I like Finn. He's nice. And I like having him round, or it just be me and the grumpy shite. Reed's always asking me why I haven't cleaned the shop up, as if I haven't bloody spent the entire time trying to do just that. Fucking prick. He and Finn fight, him and I fight. I didn't think he realises he's the common denominator here. It's been at least a week since the ring and Reed have been in my life, and none of these gangster pals of his have shown up. I asked Reed the same thing, and when they were expected so I could doll myself up. All he could retaliate with was that they weren't his pals. He's no the sharpest tool. Finn latched onto this conversation like a pig in shite and began to tease Reed at being unable to protect himself. Then something weird happened. Reed said something back, I can't remember what it was, but it was no rude, he didn't even swear. It was a pretty tame retort. Yet Finn went fae amused to anger like that. His reply was even stranger. He told Reed to watch who he was talking to, and that he was a bit too far down the food chain to be talking like that. I know, I feel like as soon as I get answers, more questions appear. It's like that dragon in Greek mythology. If you cut off one head, two more would appear. It's exhausting. Thankfully, the bell saved us and it heralded the arrival of a customer. It wasn't the only thing. Almost as soon as the last echo of the bell had faded away, I began to smell perfume. I say smell, but it was more like assaulted by it. Up my nostrils, down my throat, can still smell it as I speak. You know when you were at school, at a dance or an empty, the lads would smell so strong you'd think they'd bathed in aftershave? It was like this lassie who'd come in had done the same thing, as if no one told her perfume should be applied sparingly. It was a heavy scent, hung in the air, musky and overpowering. Could even bloody taste it. That wasn't the only thing. The lassie, when I tried to look at her, was blurry round the edges. The granny glasses effect that the roaster at the club had. What I could see clearly was that she was pretty. And I mean artist's muse level-y beauty. You know, the Helen of Troy type. A face that launches 1,000 ships or starts 1,000 fights down the pub. Before I could even open my mouth to welcome her or to say hi, Reed and Finn had gravitated their way over to this lassie. Like positive magnets after a negative one, stumbling over their feet to speak to her first. The paths are barely wide enough for one person, and the both of them were blocking the poor lassie's way to the counter where she wanted to be. She told them in the meekest voice I've ever heard to leave her alone, but she never made eye contact with any of us. The two lads are obviously strangers to consent and paid her no mind, which pissed me off. I scolded them to leave her alone, and as soon as I'd said it, Reed's whole body went rigid, as if someone had given him an electric shock. It was hilarious, and it made him leave the customer alone. My words didn't have the same effect on Finn, who continued to practically hover on her shoulder. I wasn't having this, so I took a few paces towards him and grabbed his wrist tightly, managing to hold back the "what the fuck is wrong with you" that threatened to fall out my mouth. He eventually looked at me, this strange, dazed look in his face. Honestly, if I didn't know any better, I'd have said he'd been smoking baccy out the back. It kind of reminded me of Shell in the club with that weirdo. As soon as I'd touched her, she'd gone like that as well, dazed and confused. I shoved Finn out the lassie's way, which was surprisingly easy to do as he was that out of it. I apologised to her, no even going near an explanation of why those two ball bags had acted that way. She began to shake her head and explained that it wasn't just them and that all men and even some women were instantly all over her. Wherever she went. Someone had given her the madam's card, which she procured and handed to me. There was a story here, and I couldn't have been happier. I invited her to follow me to the door upstairs, and before I could close it behind us, I ordered the two roasters to stay in the shop. You've probably guessed by now who was waiting at the top of the stairs for us. After making the tea, it was time to sit on the floor and listen to story time. The lassie repeated what she'd said to me in the shop, about men no leaving her alone. Turns out it's been so bad in some cases, she's had to phone the police. I know I sound amused, but there was nothing funny in her expression or tone. She looked genuinely afraid, as if leaving her house was a struggle. I turned to the madam with bated breath. I've never met someone so unpredictable. I know it's not been long since I started working in the shop and sitting in on these meetings, but I honestly can never tell what's going to come out her mouth. What was she hearing that I couldn't? What was this lassie thinking? Was her story even true? Eventually, in her soothing tone, she asked if the lassie had a boyfriend. The lassie answered that she had, but it had ended a few months ago. I glanced back to the madam, as if looking at her would make me able to see inside her head. She checked if the lassie's problems had started after she stopped seeing this boyfriend. The lassie, understandably, didn't know how to answer this question, but I'm getting to know the signs by now. And sure enough, in the wake of the lassie's hesitation, Madam Norna asked who'd ended the relationship, the lad or his missus. I'm not a beginner at this. I've sat in on many meetings when revelations like this come out, but even I was impressed with this one. The lassie was taken aback, body going rigid. I didn't think I've ever realised how it must feel to have your secrets just exposed like that, without you having to say a word. I certainly wouldn't like to be on the receiving end of it. After the lassie gathered herself, she immediately stated she hadn't known about her boyfriend's missus. I'm not sure what to believe, and the madam never told me afterwards. So the truth of the matter is lost to me, and I couldn't tell just by looking. Relationships, love, marriage, it's also complicated, and something I didn't understand. Are some people great at lying? Definitely. So good they'd be able to have a missus and a girlfriend? I didn't doubt it. But I didn't know this lassie. She was a stranger to me. And to be honest, I'm no the morality police. If she knowingly wanted to have a relationship with a married man, then that was her choice. Regardless of the truth of it, the madam told the lassie that there was a price for her help. Now, that was a new one. In the months I've been there, I didn't think the madams ever charged these special customers fair services. They come in, spill their guts and leave with some kind of candle, and never have to open their purses or wallets. Why the exception for this lassie? She was a bit too eager with her answer, and made the mistake of saying she'd pay anything. Without hesitation, Madam Norna told her that no one would ever fall in love with her again. The word sent out a finality that made the air in the room heavy and lethargic. I joined in the lassie as we both gaped at the madam. She took the words right out my mouth when she queried how that was even possible. Typically, there was no further explanation. My boss told her that was the price and asked if she wanted some time to think about it. Silence fell. The lassie wasn't the only one who needed time to think. How was this even possible? What sort of candle could stop people from falling in love with you? I began to realise even after all I've seen, I'm still narrow-minded. This is the antique shop, where a ring can sort your life out, a scarecrow can curse your family, and people who need jobs see signs that aren't there. There's no such thing as impossible here. The lassie answered quicker than I was comfortable with. She agreed. I didn't think she really knew what she was agreeing to. And to be fair to her, neither did I. The only difference was I believed it was possible, and by her calm demeanour she obviously thought it wasn't. I inspected her, hoping to hear even a snippet of her thoughts. What was going through her mind? It was the madam's voice that snapped me out of it, as she told me to go and fetch a small wooden box for the cabinet. On the lid would be a single onyx stone. It's no a long walk, but one of my feet had gone numb, and so I nearly fell face first after a few steps. It didn't take me long to find this box. Amongst the glass vials, a strange liquid and the loose papers with barely legible writing. I handed it to the madam, who procured a silver necklace for inside, a weird swirly pattern engraved on the teardrop charm that hung for it. It looked expensive, and old but well cared for. There wasn't a mark on the silver chain, no discoloration. It was very fine and delicate, as if holding it too tightly would make it disintegrate. The madam placed it lightly on the table. The lassie was told to wear the necklace for 7 days. She wasn't allowed to take it off, because if she did, it wouldn't work. After the 7 days had ended, no man or woman would ever bother her that way again. I've never seen anyone move as fast as that lassie did for the pendant. With happy tone, she thanked the madam, but I began to feel that unease again, like that lassie had signed away our soul. She left the shop, but I stayed with the madam, disliking the bitter aftertaste in my mouth. I asked my boss what had been wrong with the lassie, and if that was the reason Finn and Reed had acted so strange around her. The madam's smile had a sinister edge, as she explained the boyfriend's missus was the jealous type. "You think the missus did something to her, to make people instantly attracted to her?" I questioned, before admitting I still didn't understand. Because the lassie had stolen her husband, the missus had made it so that every man she met wouldn't be able to leave her alone. She'd be harassed wherever she went, tormented. The missus had cursed her husband's mistress, and curses filled with bitterness and hurt were strong, and usually lasted a lifetime. The necklace was a charm that would protect her for the rest of her life. This answer took the air out of the room, plunging it into this horrible silence. There was something a bit too permanent about this payment, and what was even more tragic was that I didn't think the lassie believed it. I mean, who would? I eventually asked my boss if the lassie had known her boyfriend was married. She gave me this look, like she couldn't tell what I was thinking for the first time since we'd met. "Would it matter? His wife seems to think she did," was the answer. I know people joke about the missus never being wrong, but it's just a joke. We're all human and we all make mistakes. But I kinda understood. If she hadn't known, like she claimed, then what happened to her was tragic. On the other hand, if she had known and did it anyway, was this karma or poetic justice? I think what annoyed me more was the fact that it takes two people to cheat. Where was the husband in all of this? Then again, if she had the power to curse her husband's mistress, what else could she do? And if she'd gone after the lassie, I could only imagine what she would have done to her husband. There's something bitter about it all. I'm no satisfied like I usually am with these cases. It feels like nobody won. It also raises the sticky question of what kind of person can physically curse someone. I'd seen it in the shop, the behaviour of Finn and Reed around the lassie, as if someone had cast a spell on them. There's so much I didn't know, and this is the first time I felt uneasy in ignorance. Thank you for listening to episode 8 of The Antique Shop. Episode 9 will be released next Thursday. If you like this episode, please tell your friends or leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you didn't enjoy this episode or this series, you may be more interested in our other podcast, The McIlwraith Statements, which is complete and available to listen to wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to support Ghostly Thistle and everything we do, then please head over to our Ko-fi account by searching for Ghostly Thistle on ko-fi.com and making a donation. If you'd like to get in touch with me about this show, my previous one, or anything else, then my email address is ghostly.thistle@gmail.com, or you can visit me on Facebook and Twitter by searching for Ghostly Thistle. Hi, listeners. Congratulations for making it to the very end of the episode. You have unfortunately stumbled into Ghostly Thistle's ranting time. No, I'm joking. I am joking. I have one very small announcement, possibly two. They're very much linked, though. So my original plan with the antique shop was that I was going to do it in 10 episode blocks. So after episode 10, I'll be away for a few weeks. I'm thinking I was originally going to go away for a month, but obviously because times have changed and podcasts are required, I'm only going away for about 3 weeks. This is not because I have not written anything else, I promise. See, the overall stories and the overall plot arc, if there is actually one, is all written. I just have to translate them into audio format. So it's not like I'm just making this up as I go along. I do know where this is going, I promise. I promise I know where this podcast is going. No, we're good. No, stop listening now. I have too much fun on these rants. Anyway, my main fucking hell, woman, get to the point. My main announcement is that I will be going on about a break of 3 weeks after episode 10. The second thing is that I have been doing this for almost a year. Wow, God, is it a year? Yeah. So the first episode of the McElwraith Statements, which is my other podcast, please go and listen if you haven't already. It was released in May. So I joined Twitter in April of 2019 and released the first episode in May. So I am coming up for my first year anniversary of being a podcaster. Can't believe it's been a year. Where's the year gone? Can I have it back, please? Anyway, yeah, so in that year I've gained new followers, new friends, new listeners, and I realise that I am one of very few podcasters who nobody knows my name. My real name, I mean, obviously my parents did not call me Ghostly Thistle. I'm pretty sure they'd be locked up for child abuse if that had been the case. So the reason that I am reminding everybody or telling everybody that it is my first year anniversary is that because I was thinking about doing a Q&A. So I'm aware that I kind of came out of nowhere, really. I came from the other side of the veil. No, I'm kidding. But I literally did come out of nowhere. I released this podcast. Nobody knew who I was before. And now we're over 25,000 downloads. So people are listening. People have sent me messages. Thank you very much. Please continue to send me emails. I really like reading them and replying to you. I will announce it on Twitter as well, but I think more of you listen to the episodes, which is why I'm telling you now. If you have any questions that you'd like answered about me, about the podcast, about the stories that they are based on, about anything really, then email me, ghostly.thistle@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook and Twitter by searching for Ghostly Thistle. Just find a way to get me your question. And what I will do is in the 3 weeks that I'm not releasing episodes of The Antique Shop, I will release maybe five or ten minute episodes of the Q&A, of answering your questions. If anybody's interested in that, I will put a poll on Twitter. So if you're interested, go on Twitter and follow me and vote on that poll. I will remind all my listeners every week until episode 10. So yeah, get your questions to me if you're interested. So just to sum up, there's going to be a very small hiatus after episode 10 of about 3 weeks. And secondly, in the 3 weeks that I'm not releasing episodes, I will be doing short Q&A sessions if anybody's interested in that. So send me your questions, either Facebook, Twitter or my email address. I think that's all the ways you can get in touch with me. Yes, it is. So I will publish the Q&A sessions in the Antique Shop feed and on the website, obviously. So obviously it's not going to be... I'll read out your questions and then I'll answer them as best as I can. Yes, as best as I can. I think that's all I can really promise you at the minute. You can ask me something and I will answer as best as I can and as honestly as I can. So second, congratulations for getting through the rant. Probably only been 5 minutes for you, but it's been an eternity for me. I am now 95 years old. No, I'm kidding. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you tune in next week.